Be bold. These people are saying Lincoln. Anybody else? George Bush? No. That was a good one, Dolores. It was Lincoln. It was Lincoln. It was Lincoln. Without boring you with all the details, here are the people instrumental, because it wasn't just Lincoln. There was a woman that persisted approaching Abraham Lincoln. We need to do this. We need to have a national day where we give thanks. Do you know her name? No, you won't know her name, probably. If you do, you're a good historian. Sarah Josepha Hale campaigned for a national Thanksgiving holiday in the United States during the 19th century. That's in the 1800s. Eventually winning President Abraham Lincoln's support in 1863. Can you imagine him saying, yes, let's give thanks, right in the middle of our nation being torn in half, right in the middle of the Civil War, when so many horrible things, we weren't even sure our nation was going to survive. There was a fight for the souls of men there and women. And in the middle of that, he said, yes, let's give thanks. Isn't that significant, people? Do you just give thanks when things are going well? So we actually proclaim this a national holiday right in the middle of the Civil War. He and subsequent presidents proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving. In other words, every year the president had to tell people what day it would be. All right? But in 1942, when a presidential executive order by Franklin Roosevelt specified that the fourth Thursday in November would be Thanksgiving Day every year. So he nailed down a date. And that's what we've been doing ever since. Isn't it wonderful to see that we had a Republican president and a Democrat president, and them all working together for something? Something good? So you see, executive orders have been active throughout history, some using this presidential privilege more than others. Okay. Anyway, enough of that history of Thanksgiving. That's how it came into being. Thanksgiving lately is passed over, and I've noticed this the last few years, and it really drives me crazy. You get to Halloween, and they keep making a bigger and bigger deal of Halloween, especially in decorations. I go up by Andy's house past Bethesda, and there's a, boy, should I say this? Yeah, I'll just say there's a house that has all these horrible decorations of death out in front of it just every year. And I just say, in the name of Jesus, I curse the works of darkness. But every year, Halloween's getting bigger and bigger with decorations and all that. And then it seems like we jump from there to Christmas. And I think a big part of the reason is money. It's commercially profitable now to sell a whole bunch of candy and decorations and all that kind of thing. And then Christmas. So businesses push this. Now, Thanksgiving is kind of sandwiched in between, and it isn't as made a big deal. Zephan teased me last year, but I said, I don't want to hear anybody say Happy Turkey Day. So I got a little text in my phone from Zephan. Happy, you know, he's just joking with me. But, you know, it's more than Turkey Day. It's not just eating turkey, getting stuffed, and gorging yourself on food and watching your football games, although we do that. I mean, you know, that's part of it. Thanksgiving has been passed up, and the meaning of it is getting buried worse and worse every year. So I'm one that every year I try to make a bigger deal out of it, at least in church anyway, where Christians should know. Let's read 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. I probably will not have a long message today. I'm going to leave you with some thoughts about giving thanks. And I don't think I can elaborate on it and you know, just belabor the point and beat it to death. But I want us to realize how important it is to give thanks. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, this is a prophetic word given to Paul about the last days of the church, the last days of the world. And sadly, a lot of people he's mentioning here are also in the church and often called brothers and sisters in Christ. But he said this to Timothy from the Holy Ghost. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Now, this is a long list of sinful stuff. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And I underline this next word. What does it say? Unthankful. You know, that's a sign of the last days that people will not be thankful. Unholy. And I had to go back to the old King James Version because my new King James failed me here. The old King James says, without natural affection. That means perversion. The newer versions want to say, I'm trying to remember what they said, without self-control. But that does not bring out what this really is, without natural affection. And we see this throughout the world now with the movements of LGBTQYZ and all that. It's bigger and bigger and bigger. You think half of the population is now going that direction. But that's a sign of the last days. And without natural affection could also mean people who birth or who like women who get pregnant and they don't love their child enough, they kill it before it's born. That's prevalent now. That's not natural affection. So there's a lot of different areas of unnatural affection. It goes well beyond without self-control, as some of the modern translations say. This is where I struggle when they start changing words. I guess I'd like to go back to the original Greek and see just exactly what that was, but I don't know how you go from without natural affection to just without self-control. Anyway, let me go on. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Look at what's going on today. Now people who are trying to preach righteousness and living a good life are being attacked, they're being persecuted and made out like there's something wrong with them. People are celebrating when somebody kills somebody who's righteous. They're actually celebrating and mocking it. This is how sick we've become. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure, boy, we are in that season. And I'm going to make a little editorial about that. I wasn't planning on making all these editorials, but every time I get on this scripture, I have to make comments. Back when I was a kid, when I was growing up, even in high school, schools, organizations would never think of having sports on Sunday. They wouldn't do it because Christian parents would say, my kid's not going to be there. You got him on the soccer team, you got him on this team, that team. He won't be there if you're having this on Sunday. Do it on Friday night. Do it on Saturday. Or at least have the decency to have it on Sunday afternoon at 4 or 5 o'clock. But no, they don't care. And Christian parents are just rolling over and doing that. Or they're going to a big mega church. Well, I'll just hit the service on Saturday night. Do you see how this decays away the Sabbath day? So mega churches don't do us a service there because we just worship God. We worship Jesus at our own convenience. Jesus has to revolve around our schedule. We don't revolve around him, right? I know this could offend some people, but I'm just getting too old to play games. I have to speak truth, right? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now, this is the church world. Having a form of godliness. Oh, we're good people. God bless you. We're just so nice. Can I bake an apple pie for you? Now, I'm not mocking that totally. We're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit, right? But this says having a form of godliness, but doing what? Denying the power thereof. Oh, I believe in being good. Well, we're going to emphasize the fruit of the Spirit, but we don't want any gifts of the Spirit. We don't want any prophecy, or we don't believe in gifts of healing. We don't believe God does that anymore. I believe that's what this scripture means. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Churches all over the place are preaching that that has ceased to exist, that somehow God is powerless. And I'm going to tell you, he's just as powerful as he's always been. And you're going to see his power even more when we approach the second coming of Christ. Prophecy hasn't ceased. My goodness, even at the time of the rapture, there's going to be two witnesses from God walking around doing what? Prophesying. It says it in Revelation. Come on. But my Bible says this is a painful thing, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now that's hard. We all have Christian brethren that we love that may not take, they may not realize that God has not changed. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, so on and so forth. He didn't classify it as the apostles and when they died it all quit happening. He didn't say that at all. That is a false write-in of the Bible. My Bible says if people deny the power of God, you're to turn away from them. Now that's hard for me. A lot of people want to believe some things by Paul, but they don't want to take everything, Paul says, right? Notice one major observation, though, in people that are in the last days is to be unthankful. Unthankful. And I already mentioned that I like the New King James Version the best as my Bible teaching, but even on this one, it seems to vary the translation on that without natural affection. So I won't talk about that again. We see another passage in the Bible that describes man's unthankful nature perfectly. There is another account of the many, many miracles of Jesus that I've been preaching about. And we're going to talk about the 10 lepers today. 10 lepers. Now, leprosy is a terrible, terrible disease. And in a minute, I'm going to read what it is. But there were 10 lepers that had this terrible disease. I actually saw some with leprosy down in Central America. It was terrible. Their very hands and fingers were being ate away. And they were begging in the streets just like biblical times. But verse 11 says this, and let me see where I'm at. I'm in Luke 17, 11. So our text is going to be out of Luke chapter 17 today. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they stood afar off because a leper colony, they wouldn't let people, they weren't to get around people. They didn't have a cure. I think today they have antibiotics and things that can help that, right, Angela? But back in biblical times, there wasn't any. And it was very contagious and very terrible. So there were 10 men lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Imagine their desperate condition. And you don't know how long they had this. So here's what leprosy is. It's a terrible disease. Leprosy is also known as Hansen's disease, and it's a long-term infection by the bacteria, and I may not pronounce this right, Mycobacterium leprae, or Mycobacterium lepromatosis. You're laughing at me. I got it, she said, okay. It's an infection can lead to damage of the nerves, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. Imagine it getting in your eyes. This nerve damage may result in the loss of extremities to communicate with the nervous system, which can lead to the loss of parts of a person's extremities from repeated injuries or infection through unnoticed wounds. And those wounds can be underneath the skin. I mean, the infection can be down in there. An infected person may also experience muscle weakness and loss of eyesight. Leprosy symptoms may begin within 1 year or take 20 years or more. Can you imagine that? Wow, it almost sounds like shingles. Leprosy symptoms begin when you take 20 years or more. Who knows how long these men were afflicted with this disease when they saw Jesus? So let's move on to verse 14. Now you got a picture of what these men were facing. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And did you know that when he told them that, they weren't healed? And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. He said, get up and go show yourself to the priest. And they still had the symptoms. They still had it. But as they went and obeyed him, the healing manifested. Make note of that. We're approaching our healing service on the 7th. And a lot of healing is belief in Jesus is obedience. Sometimes healing is a simple matter of obedience to what God tells you to do. A simple step of faith. I wonder if one just sat there and didn't get up to show himself to the priest, whether he would have been healed. Because he wouldn't have believed what Jesus said. He wouldn't have trusted him. Well, Lord, I still have it. What do you mean go show myself to the priest? Got up, went, and not just immediately the healing came. These men were to go show themselves to the priest and hadn't manifested till they started going to visit him. And verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he noticed it right away. Oh my gosh, I'm healed. Returned with a loud voice and glorified God. And glorified God. Do you know why I pray and have prayed most of my Christian life for the gift of healing? Yes, I want to see suffering and people eased. Yes, I know it's important. I've had times in my own life, and as I get older, I always seem to have a time where I need healed of something, right? But there's a bigger reason. World don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. And when a healing comes, it's beyond anything that could happen at Methodist Hospital or one of our great hospitals that man cannot do, or not by natural means or an instant healing. And we glorify God. What does that do with unsaved people? My Bible says that they start believing in Jesus. You see people by the thousands in the book of Acts come to Jesus when someone's healed. We can be at school and they're teaching all this rot of evolution. And you can have teachers that are atheists or agnostics and not believe. And you could have somebody in that school that may have been born crippled and been in a wheelchair and all that. And then what if Caleb walked up and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and that young man would come out of the chair. So much for all your teaching about evolution and all that kind of garbage. They can't argue with that. Paul said, I didn't come to you with fancy words, but in the power and demonstration of God's Spirit, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And when you see something like that, you are changed forever. You can't ever explain that away. How did that happen? It had to be God, a living Savior that conquered the tomb, that came out of the grave and is alive and can still walk this earth and heal. So this man glorified God with a loud voice. Yes, I want the gift of healing because I want to see people saved. That's my biggest thing. Because you know what? Even if you're healed in this life, you're still appointed to die once. It's temporary until you end your life or Jesus returns. So it's a great thing when it happens. But my biggest thing that I want to see is people saved. So that's why I pray for the gift of healing. That's why I want to have a healing service. Tired of not seeing people saved. Wouldn't you think that all 10 men would have ran back to Jesus to thank him? Here was Jesus' response in verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were they not found? Anybody found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So the man that gave thanks to Jesus was not even a Jewish person. He was a Samaritan. And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Scripture does not indicate that he removed the healing from the other 9 for not thanking him. Because they obeyed. They went to see the priests. At least I hope none of them just said, I ain't going to go show myself to the priest. I'm going to go home. Hopefully they all did. Bible doesn't say. But what a sad thing that the others didn't even give glory to God. They got what they wanted and quickly forgot the very God that healed him. I ask the question today, are we any different? Time after time in your life, Christian, that you've been a Christian, you have seen God come through for you, sometimes in the most miraculous of ways. And has it crossed your mind even recently, any of those times? No, we kind of forget, we move on, we get to the next crisis, and now here we are, oh God, are you going to come through? We forget all the times he came through. Are we any different? Am I any different? I asked myself that question when I wrote this sermon. Do we take God for granted on a daily basis and forget all that he has done for us over the years? Church, we should take inventory on the things we should be thankful for, and we would be much thankful. There's a lot of even general things that you can be thankful. I want people to speak up. Name something you should be thankful for today, right off the top of your head. Yell it out.
Family.
Your health.
Being alive.
Salvation. What'd you say?
Employment.
What?
Being provided for.
Yeah, but I like naming them specifically because sometimes we just paint a big general picture. Specific things. Every second of the day, we are breathing air that God gives us. And if he cut it off, Angela, how long would we be alive? 5 minutes? How long do we go without oxygen? Three? I'm telling you, we're taking it for granted. I love the song where it talks about praising him with the air in your lungs. You rare that you breathe. Alex sings it a lot. We'd die quickly. But we don't thank him. We take it for granted. We're born with it. Yes, we get sick occasionally, but have you given thanks for all the times God has protected you from diseases? Think about this, church. From diseases you were exposed to and didn't even know about. Have you thought of that? Emily's around people all the time at the bank. What are they carrying in? We went through COVID. Thank God the Holy Ghost warned us that a bad virus was coming, but we still didn't know what to do except pray. That was enough. No one in our body died. I'm thankful I don't even understand my own situation in that COVID thing. I went down to CVS. I never got a vaccine, and I left that up to people here for their own conscience, whether to get a vaccine or not. I didn't. I was one of the people back in 1976 at 19 years old that ran out and got the swine flu shot. A lot of younger people didn't know that that happened. They had a flu shot back then. I ran out and got one. It sounded cool. And the whole left side of my face turned totally numb and drew down. They said I had something called, and it was temporary, it didn't last but a few days, Bell's palsy. It freaked me out. Other people from that vaccine got paralyzed. Some died. They had to pull it off the market. So I was spooked by it. So I didn't get a vaccine. But I'm not going to make a statement on pro or con. But here I go to CVS Pharmacy, just curious, because I skated through this thing, and I was always wondering how irresponsible, but then they found out the vaccine didn't keep you from getting the disease. I thought, man, I don't want to pass it to Mom, you know, because I was taking care of her and didn't want it to be a death sentence for her. So finally, after the pandemic eased and everything, I went to CVS, and I got tested to see when or how I was exposed. And they said, we have no record of you ever being exposed to COVID. Explain that one. I'm pastoring a church. People are coming in here with masks, without masks. I remember a neighbor came in here one day and he talked to me about 15 minutes like this, no mask. I was in here at the church working. And he goes, oh, I'm fighting off COVID. Well, that's nice. We've been talking for 15 minutes. Oh, somebody came in the church and said, I've got COVID, but I'm faithing it out. I thought I wanted to say, could you faith it out at home until you get well? Anyway, I mean, you may have faith. Now, and there's something about this with healing. You may have the faith to be healed of that. That's fine. But if you pass it to somebody else, if the devil uses it, they may not have that faith. So, you know, don't sneeze in somebody's face. I'll just tell you, practice good health habits. How about that? But they didn't show me having a record of ever getting it or even exposed to it. That had to be impossible. I was around all people at church, and at one time or another, about everybody in church said they had COVID. I don't understand that except for the grace of God. Now, I have other health things I have to fight, but I don't know what was going on with that. Got off track a little bit. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. See, there's a lot of things we can be thankful for. What about being thankful for terrible accidents that you won't know in this life he spared you from because the angels of God rearranged circumstances on your behalf? A terrible accident could have happened had you not forgotten something and had to go back home, and something could have occurred on the highway where you would have been, right? Gosh, I remember as a baby Christian, I was believing God for every little thing in the world, and I had to get back to Thorntown one day from Crawfordsville and go through all those stoplights, and I was running late, and I said, Lord, can you make every light green? I was just praying about everything. Went out on the road, first light I came to, boom, flashed and hit red on me. Lord, why did you make this light red? I didn't have much time to wonder, because right up the road, past that intersection where I would have been, a car came flying out of a side road, out of control, spun around and hit a tree, and I probably would have been right there, and he would have hit me broadside. Glad he didn't answer that prayer the way I asked, because I didn't know that he did. That's why I encourage people to pray in the Holy Spirit a lot. Holy Ghost knows. Well, that was a quick lesson that I can name and claim everything I want, but sometimes the things I'm claiming might kill me. So God always knows best. That's part of our total faith in him. So accidents that you don't even know. And I got fixated the other day on plane crashes. I don't know why I do that occasionally. Vicki and I both do it. There's this thing on why planes crash. And in my younger days, I flew around the world all over the place. And some of these things were weird. They didn't get the door shut properly, or they didn't put enough fuel. This one jet in Canada, they got metrics mixed up with pounds when they changed it over up in Canada. They didn't put enough fuel in the plane, and this was a great big huge plane, and it ran out of gas and up at 30,000 feet, ran out of fuel. That pilot, by the grace of God, managed to glide that thing down on an old military runway, and not a one person died. Those people were thankful. That's one you can look at. That makes you smile. But there were some that weren't. But you look at this stuff. How many times have you flown? How many miles? Why is it some people are on the wrong flight and you're not? I want to do a sermon on that someday. God's timing. We have someone in our midst, I'll probably base this whole sermon on, who survived a commercial airplane crash. Donna. You guys didn't know that. But I will show Continental Flight 603 and what she went through, and she escaped alive. And so did Meryl and her family. So I probably ought to do a sermon on that. But we should be thankful. Are we thankful that currently we are spared from severe persecution in America while thousands of Christians are being killed worldwide? Is it Nigeria right now where there's a real bloodbath? They're just killing Christians brutally over and over. They just went into a Catholic church and kidnapped 300 children and killed the rest. We haven't dealt with that here. To us, persecution is someone calling us a name or not talking to us. Right? We don't have a clue what that is. We should be thankful that at least now, I don't know if it'll last forever in America, at least overall, for the most part, we are spared from this kind of persecution. I can go on, but now I want to ask you about all the things in your life you know God has done for you that you don't even think about anymore. Have we moved on and never took the time like that one man to thank Jesus for his love and grace towards us? I want you to think about the things in your life you know God intervened in a dramatic way and you were thankful for. And I could go around the room, and if you guys remembered everything, this service wouldn't end today. It wouldn't end, because literally you could make a list if you would just remember all the things God did for you. One day, and I've given this before, but there's always new people in here. I was out on the mower. One of the jobs I hate the most is mowing grass. Andy always looks at me funny when I say that. He says, you just ride around. It's easy. It's not that it's easy. It's tedious. Make one lap, and then you go get in a little further, and you make another lap. And I'm not one of these fancy yard mowers where now I do an angled thing across it. I just do a square and try to get it over with as quick as I can, because it's boring. I'm thinking of all the other things I have to do. And one day I was in one of them moods. I was out in the yard. Here we go again, and I didn't get the right kind of mower. I don't get a zero-point turn, so I'm going out around my dad's 5,819 trees in the yard, and I'm going way out here and it's taking forever. And I got to thinking, boy, you could be praying on this mower. You're really wasting. You can make use of this time. You can pray. You don't have to think much while you're mowing. What do you got to think about? Not hitting a tree, you're going 1/10 of a mile an hour up the, you know. So then I got to thinking, well, I should be thankful that I'm out here. It's a nice day. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to give thanks on this mower. And I started really vague. I just started by, well, Lord, thanks for the pretty day out here. Thanks for that nice smell of new cut grass, because I've always liked that. And I started going deeper and deeper, and I started thanking God for this and that, and the Holy Ghost started bringing things to my memory, and I started getting excited on the mower. His spirit came down on the John Deere. His spirit came down on me, and I got wild on the mower. I was standing up, and then the mower would turn off because you have to sit on the seat or I have to start it. I'm going around there with my hands in the air, and the mower's just going, and there's cars going up and down the road, and they're saying, look at that crow. We know who that is, that crazy preacher over there at Corinth Church. Well, you know how them people are. They're kind of weird. I got blessed. God came down in a powerful way on the lawnmower, and it seemed like no time at all I had that yard mowed. But you got to start somewhere in your Thanksgiving. It may seem lame. Oh, I thank God for the pretty day. I thank God for, this shirt I found over at Kohl's or something. You can start by lame, but I can tell you what, it goes deeper. It goes deeper. God inhabits the praises of his people. And that's what I experienced that day on the mower. He inhabited my praise. He came down in glory on the lawnmower. He'll do that anywhere. He can come down in Old National Bank. Can you imagine that? I'm thinking of other places people work. You're thinking, oh, how could he invade where I work? Oh, my gosh, that place is a pit. You better be thankful. Get a job, right? He inhabits, and he can inhabit your praise wherever you are at. Paul and Silas in prison. They got freed from prison. And a bunch of people got saved. Thanksgiving is a powerful holiday that we should be doing year-round. A lot of things happen when we praise him. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That means when you don't feel like, give the sacrifice of praise. When you don't feel like it, he could turn your situation around. Praising God, marching around Jericho, and down came them walls. God fights for those who praise him. Are you currently in a battle? But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And in 2 Chronicles 20:20-22, it says, now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. They were defeated because people began to praise and sing and praise God, not because of their mighty arms. He's that powerful. And we should be wanting that power, not denying it. This should be a way of life all year long. And it's why I love Thanksgiving. You don't feel like praising God? Can you pray? Can you pray in tongues? Many a time I haven't felt like it. In fact, that day on the mower, I probably started praying in tongues before I started praising. Do you know, often when you're praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, and I can tell you this from translation, often it is praise to God. Often it is praise to God. Just a little teaching. Often when someone is praying in the Spirit here, it's not meant necessarily to be interpreted to the whole body, because the words from the Holy Spirit are thanksgiving and praise to our Lord Jesus Christ over and over again. I could translate some of when I hear people praying in the Spirit, but all you would hear is, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Holy One of Israel over and over. So that's not to be translated. That's praise coming from your inner man, from the Holy Ghost. So if you don't know how to praise God, start praying in the Spirit if you have the ability. And I know not everybody has the ability, but if you don't have the ability, pray scriptures that pray. Find thankful scriptures, and they were birthed by the Holy Spirit, so now you're praying in the Spirit that way. There's more than one way to do that. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Something we lack here. I, in the olden days, I remember that the church would just break out, and the whole church, people all over the church, would start singing in the Spirit beautiful melodies that flowed together in perfect harmony for with one another. And then all of a sudden, it would stop, just from the Lord. And then interpretations would come with a lot of the words that were being sung in the Spirit. Gosh, we need to go to that level here. We really do, church. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving thanks, seeing he understands not what you're saying? And Paul's saying, if there's no interpretation, they're not going to get blessed from it. But the Lord will. He says, for verily, you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So we understand that principle, right? These things should be interpreted when necessary. But he's also saying, when you're doing that in the Spirit, you're giving thanks well. So when you're driving your car, when you're at home, when you're in a proper place, when you're in church, or you're in a place you don't feel like praising God, start praying in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Ghost, because that's his job, to point to Jesus, to lift up our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he can help you do that. And that'll attach itself to your soul. And you'll begin to feel the joy of the Holy Spirit pouring into you simply from the Holy Ghost doing that. Everybody can start giving thanks today, if not for even the smallest things we take for granted, church. I thought about going around the room and making people give thanks. I'm not going to do that. You have to do it from the heart, not because I'm trying to pull it out of you. My goodness, I've been in churches where and we've done this here. I'm not belittling our church, but you had praise and worship, and before even they got the offering to take it up or something, people started jumping up. I got a testimony. I got to praise God. And that might go on for 20 minutes, half hour. I've been in services where it went on the whole service, and that was the service. Something to think about. Don't be shy in here. I love that. I was hoping you'd sing that song today about not being shy. Get up and praise the Lord. I was thinking of that all morning. I thought, I hope he's singing that today, and you did. We shouldn't be so shy. We should be bold in the Lord. Unless you want a rock speaking for you, huh? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Please begin now to give thanks to the Lord as we close this service today. Think about this all week long, and don't let it stop on Thanksgiving. And don't let Thanksgiving be a downer. If you're getting all caught up in stuff that's not Thanksgiving, that's attached to it, try to break free to the best of your ability. Maybe you got relatives coming in that might be a downer, or maybe something's going on. Try your best to exalt Him anyway. Right? I didn't mean to say that about relatives. I don't know. That came out of my mouth. Oops. We should be loving our family, right? But sometimes it's rough. They want to bring their negative politics to the table. They want to bring... You ever met people that every single thing out of their mouth is something depressing? You're in a good mood, you get a phone call. I got somebody I know, it's a friend. And I thought, here comes the bad news. This person's got this disease, that's happening. Did you know we're going to have a terrible winter? Every year I hear that from this person, and it doesn't always, you know. And I always try to counter it with something positive. Let's not do that. Let's try to avoid that. Not be rude, but let's try to steer it. Steer it to Jesus. Steer it to the light of the world. So let's begin now to give thanks to the Lord as we close the service. And if you have a need, you're welcome to come up and let us pray and agree with you. In fact, if there's any praise reports before we sing this final song, I want you to be bold and stand up and do it. If not, I said I wasn't going to pull it out of you, so it's up to you. You want to praise God, stand up and do it. If not, we're going to close with a song. Maybe you're tired of us preaching, say, yeah, let's sing the song and get out of here. No. I know what I'm telling you is truth. Never be shy to praise the Lord in this church. You could touch off a revival. You could touch off a move of God.